In addition to that, I might also add that a reporter from KIMO, another television station in Anchorage, and KJUD here in Juneau, even though the cameras aren't here, they thought perhaps there was enough going on to be able to report back to their to the public. So, again, the sun is shining once more in the House of Representatives with private industry filming the action going on here on the floor of the House. And I personally appreciate private industry stepping in at a time when they needed it, when we needed it the most. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under unfinished business, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Ward be excused from the call of the House on April the 27th, 28th, and 29th.
Is there objection to returning to unfinished business? Hearing none, we're under unfinished business. Representative Barnes, would you move the people who want to be excused again, please?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Ward be excused from the call of the House on April the 27th, 28th, and 29th.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body, Representative Barnes?
Under unfinished business, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Betty Cato be excused through Tuesday evening.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Cato's excused through Tuesday evening. Representative Vasca, under unfinished business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been previously excused on Thursday and Friday of this week. I'd also like to be excused until playing time on Saturday.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. One item, Representative Winty, under unfinished business.
Can we return to introduction of guests, Mr. Speaker?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Winty.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce to you and my colleagues on the floor, a resident of Ketchikan, Bill Thomas.
Under unfinished business, House Bill 34, it's a bill that relating to succession in the office of Lieutenant Governor, does have a fiscal note. It's been brought to my attention that there is a fiscal note. The bill is presently in rules, and so at this time I'm going to add a finance referral to House Bill 34. Representative Clarkson, House, please stand at ease. During the at ease, it was pointed out that the fiscal impact that I was referring to was discussed by the Judiciary Committee, and apparently it's on a sort of a theoretical assumption. And it's my opinion that it's not necessary. So at this time, I'm going to reverse my referral to finance. It's now in rules, and next place for it would be on the floor. Further unfinished business to come before the body?
Announcements?
Representative Adams?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. In House Finance this afternoon, we're going to hear House Bill 137, Supplement Appropriation Department Education Retirement of School Construction Debt. The two closeout budgets on the legislature and corrections is not ready, so we might hear those tomorrow. Thank you.
Representative Ewing?
The House Special Committee on State Loans is going to hear two bills tonight at 5 o'clock in the resources room. One is 156, an act relating to the state grain reserve program and providing for an effective date, and also House Bill 271, an act making a special appropriation to the Alaska Grain Revolving Loan Fund and providing for an effective date.
Further announcements? Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Judiciary Committee, you'll remember, canceled its meeting on Friday as the House session ran so late, and we continued Friday's calendar till today. So, although I announced it Friday, I'd like to re-announce it today. It's House Bill 60, an act providing for a conditional pardon. House Bill 293, an act relating to a definition of a term of agency in the Ombudsman's Act. House Bill 117, an act related to sexual abuse of the minor. And H.J.R. 8, proposing amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to elections of a candidate for the Office of Governor, Lieutenant Governor. And the regular scheduled calendar day then held H.B. 6, an act relating to driving a motor vehicle, and H.B. 49, an act relating to nepotism in state employment and providing for an effective date. Thank you.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Labor and Commerce will continue
work on House Bill 308, an act relating to insurance. We will continue that through tomorrow morning.
Further announcements. Special orders. Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like the privilege of the floor to make a few remarks about medicine and the AMA.
You have the floor, Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is the custom of all people who are interested in health matters such as podiatrists and optometrists and naturopaths and folks like that to always draw the picture of medicine as being a conspiratorial group who have some arcane powers over the national legislature and especially over the Alaskan legislature. And so I would like to take just a few minutes to explain a little bit about how medicine got where it is today and why it is the envy and cynosure of medical people throughout the world who come to visit and learn at Houston, Boston, Baltimore, New York, and other places in this country. Up until about 1912, there were several hundred so-called medical schools in the United States, some of which were only run by correspondents, and almost all of which were run for the fees that the students paid. Of course, there were exceptions like the great universities of Columbia, Harvard, and others. In 1912, or thereabouts, a Flexner, named after a doctor, a Flexner report was issued, and as a result of that, the medical schools, as we now know them, were established in the United States of America, and they required at least 2 years of college education and graduation of after a four-year stint in the medical school, and usually an internship, and usually special training after that. As of now, there are over 110 medical schools, all of which require 4 years of study, with the exception of Duke University, which requires the same number of months, but can compress the actual time into 3 years. The AMA is, like any professional group, represents the doctors of the United States of America, and they have indeed a lobby in Washington. And their purpose and their accomplishments, I hope, were in the public interest rather than the narrow interests of doctors. The 50 states have medical practice laws, and anybody who fulfills the legal requirements, graduating from a Class A medical school, which now, in almost all instances, require graduation from college before entering school, an internship, and often specialty training, and recertification from time to time based upon postgraduate study. These laws were drawn up by legislative bodies like ours. And they were drawn up not as special interest legislation to help the doctors, but were drawn up to protect the public. Therefore, it is my feeling that anybody who wants to practice medicine, whether he be an optometrist, whether he be a podiatrist, whether he be a psychologist, or anybody else, should be at perfect liberty to do so, providing only that he gets a license to practice medicine, in our own instance, in the state of Alaska. And that any implication that there's a conspiracy on the part of people like myself to keep them out of it is simply not so. I say that anybody who wants to test human function, diagnose disease, use drops of medication, should simply go to medical school, graduate, get an MD degree, get a license to practice, and then go about his peculiar specialty and do it legally. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd ask permission of the floor to speak under special orders on the television coverage.
Yeah, the floor, Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, a few minutes ago we heard the State Affairs Chairman speak in this area, and I don't think he intended to, certainly, but I think he his remarks had the effect of implying that previous till today, the various news people had not been on the floor of the House, and of course that's not true. I've been very pleased to see the number of private sector news people covering this legislature from the very first day of the legislature. They have been here. They're here now. I would have been shocked had they not been here. Mr. Speaker, what's missing, is the one-half-hour treatment of the legislature for those individuals in Alaska, and there are thousands of them, who want more than a 90-second bite of what happened in the combined sessions of the House of Representatives and the Alaska Senate. That's what's missing, Mr. Speaker, the opportunity for people to know in more depth what's going on the floor of this House. If the news reports are to be believed, and I believe they are, the other body will be continuing coverage. And I take this opportunity to congratulate the leadership and the membership of that body for continuing the public's right to know in something more than 90-second bites what's going on the floor of the people's houses of the legislature. That's the important distance. The screen is vacant, Mr. Speaker, for people that want to know in depth what's going on, and it was the unfortunate vote in this House the other day that blanked that screen. Thank you.
Representative Furnish.
Speaker, I request your permission of the floor to speak on the same subject.
You have the floor, Representative Furnish.
Mr. Speaker, the previous speaker would lead us to believe, and leave this audience to believe, that we've done something immoral and unjust or whatever. He would leave the public to believe that they are no longer getting the action of this body. Well, needless to say, I beg the difference on that. Mr. Speaker, we well recognize that the state coverage was less than adequate. I recall the last program that I watched, it showed debate on a particular issue. It showed three people debating. It did not show the results of the vote, nor did it show any type of variety in that particular vote. It also showed in the galleries a person yawning. It showed a person scratching. It showed in the Senate, Mr. Speaker, a committee meeting, but no indication as to what the dialogue was. Now, I fail to see that represents what's happening in this body and what's happening in this legislature. Mr. Speaker, I would surmise here that the only city in the state of Alaska that gets any kind of coverage, that got any kind of coverage from that program, was the city of Juneau, and that there were gavel-to-gavel coverage made. And I would safely say here that the previous speaker should be talking to his own constituency, because if there is someone that's missing the coverage, it is the people of Juneau, not of South Central Alaska, and particularly my colleagues and my constituency in Anchorage. Now, I would bet, if we watched the news program this evening, Mr. Speaker, I would bet that we would see more of a coverage in one newscast from the television coverage of today than we have seen this whole session, this whole 90 days, from the dollars that we spent of state funds. Mr. Speaker, in summation, the facts are this. The program did not meet the needs of Alaska. It did not clearly reflect what was happening in this legislative body. Not one time, Mr. Speaker, to my knowledge, did they take a piece of legislation from introduction to the committee hearings, to the floor action, to the vote, and do the same thing with the other body. Not one time. And in my opinion, Mr. Speaker, that is the way we can adequately show to the people of this state what's happening in this legislative body. To do a snapshot, to do an unrelated snapshot, and to spend at least 50% of that 30 minutes on commentary by a moderator does not serve this body or this state in any way.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask privilege of the floor to speak on the same subject.
You have the floor, Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Both the previous speaker and the chairman of the State Affairs Committee both referred to the fact that the state should not be paying money for television coverage in the state of this legislative body. I should remind both of them, Mr. Speaker, that the state is, in fact, paying for the television coverage that is presently being shot right now. There is state money paying for that. And where does it go? It goes to Anchorage. Perhaps there's a sister station in Fairbanks. But that's it. There's no television coverage of the legislative actions in the rural areas. It just doesn't exist. And yet, we are willing to pay the subsidy, the giveaway, to the two private companies to use the time allotted to the state. And the state is paying for it. On Saturday, there was a teleconference, statewide teleconference, a benefit for the cancer research in this state. Over $80,000 in pledges were gotten from all over the state. All over the state on a Saturday. And most of the state was good on Saturday. It's surprising how many people watch statewide television. I urge this body, Mr. Speaker, and the leadership to consider reinstating the television coverage that has happened before. Certainly, if the chairman of the Labor and Commerce Committee wants to institute a gavel-to-gavel coverage of the legislature, that's fine. But there are technical problems. How are you going to deal with the committees that meet at the same time? It's absolutely impossible. Certainly, if we have criticisms for the editing that has to be done, we should let the companies know. I urge this body to think about it. And I also remind the chairman of the State Affairs Committee that this coverage is being subsidized by the state right now.
Further special orders? Representative Miller?
Speaker, just a slight moment to correct the speaker from Anchorage who said that the vote tallies, in fact, as he said this twice on the floor of the House, it's no big deal except he happens to be in error, said the vote tallies were not shown. As a matter of fact, I specifically remember on the very reporting episode that he made comment on, that the vote tally on the very bills we're talking about were recorded on the tote boards up there.
Further special orders. Representative McBride?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to speak for a moment on a subject called perceptions and misconceptions.
You have the floor, Representative McBride.
Here about a week or maybe 8 or 9 days ago, there was a report, and it made headlines that canned salmon in California, a lady had found a piece of glass in a can of it, and that it had cut her mouth and it had broken her dentures, and 500 stores in Southern California had pulled salmon from the shelves. As a result of a suggestion by Mr. Dan Schneringer, who is a quality assurance manager for Peter Pan Seafoods, he suggested that she boil it in vinegar, and he suggested it was probably a piece of crystal or mineral that happens occasionally with salmon. As a result of that, the lady did try that, and it did dissolve, and the report on that came on page B15 in the particular newspaper that I read. And, of course, like all things, it makes news when it is a subject, and good news is not real news. So it got further on back in. And being that salmon is an important part of our industry and economics in our state, I thought it wise to bring this to your attention. The other thing is I have worked as a store manager for a number of years in my past life here, and it's not unusual to find foreign material in any kind of canned goods. We do a good job as a whole, but occasionally something happens. And as a working in a store, you find these things come to your attention every now and then. And I think back at a few instances, and one time a can of tuna had a crushed up empty can within that can of tuna. I recall just a year or so ago myself, I found a piece of rubber, which very likely was off of a conveyor belt that looked like a piece of somebody's tennis shoe that was in a can of ham spread. Hairpins in pop bottles and that kind of thing. So it's not an unusual thing. I think it became headlines in our state because the salmon industry is important to us. I think it's good news that it wasn't a piece of glass, and the whole subject needed to be cleared up. And I just wanted to call in case anybody had not noticed that it was not glass, and it was just a piece of crystallized mineral that occasionally happens in a can of salmon. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the privilege of the floor to speak on the heavens.
Yeah, the floor, Representative Abood.
In the heavens today, you can look around and you can see satellites. And to infer that the state television right here on this floor is being brought to us courtesy of state funds, it's stretching it quite a bit because, yes, the state pays for the satellite and helps with the satellite that brings us many other things, weather reports, etc., throughout the state. So it is not only just this. We're paying for a satellite. And to infer that that the state's paying for this particular private industry television camera here is totally erroneous. I think that's stretching it beyond the point of limitation. Thank you.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Tuesday, April the 26th, 1983.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.